Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, the auto recording didn't go today again. But anyway.
Welcome to the Free Food and Medicine Podcast.
Yes, thank you very much. I that basically goes into what I was just about to say. I would like to first apologize to Marcus Crosscrans for not being as professional as he is. Him and Kira put a lot of work and effort into professionalism. And we don't. We're just kind of winging it. It is a passion of ours, maybe as much as Marcus Rothkrantz and Kira, but we have a lot of other things on our plate, just like they probably do too. And so we just kind of wing it, and we don't go back and edit our stuff. Everything you get from us is pretty much raw material. So,
and organic.
We are, yeah, this is an organic podcast for sure. So, that being said, we do try to use Marcus Rothkrantz as our reference guide, since we are technically using his name, Free Food and Medicine. He doesn't technically own the name, I don't think. I mean, how can we own something that doesn't really belong to us? This is off topic, more of a scrap podcast topic. But the hotel I'm staying in, he was talking about how people in India, because he's India, people in India have been doing certain things for centuries. But because the U.S. started this patenting thing and trademarking thing, now they've taken the rights from other countries who have been doing these things for thousands of years because they don't have a trademark and or a patent.
Right.
Which is unlawful. But you'll have to listen to our Scrap podcast to hear things like that. And you can find that at scrapgovscrap.com. We'll have to remember to talk about that next week maybe. But anyways, so who owns the thing? Not really anybody. The Native Americans, you know, talk about how we don't own any of this stuff. We're just borrowing it, and we need to respect it. And that's
we'll
true.
We'll be here when we're gone. How can we own it?
Exactly. We pass it on to the next of kin. You know, whether it is our kin or somebody else's kin, we pass everything down to the next of kin, and we need to take care of it. Because if it belongs to anybody, it belongs to the future. And their future. And their future. So, that includes not poisoning our environment with things like genetically modified garbage, which we really can't poison nature too much because nature finds a way. It always takes things back to the original source. For example, when I was in the fish business, you know, we learned that, you know, when you genetically modify fish, or when they genetically modify fish, you can't breed them with genetically modified fish because the offspring will revert back to the original DNA.
Funny.
Right. So, nature will find a way. We're not killing the earth. We're killing ourselves.
Pretty much.
And that's why we need to practice free food and medicine. God's medicine. So, I was just watching a video by Marcus Rothkranz, and I need to put, I would like to encourage him to put some videos on our freefoodandmedicine.org website, but I have a feeling he probably won't. He barely knows we exist. So, I need to go put some of his videos, and if other people have videos that they want to post about free food and medicine, feel free to sign up to the video site at freefoodandmedicine.org and post some free food and medicine videos. I have some I need to post of my own that I haven't got around to. So, yeah, I just got so much on my plate. But anyways, please, if you have time and you have resources, post some good quality videos on our videos on our video site at freefoodandmedicine.org. So Marcus Rothkranz was talking about palm trees. Where do palm trees come from? And basically, you know, he was talking about he was actually showing a video from the coconuts falling and rooting and growing new coconut trees. But David Ray found a video on unauthorized.tv of a guy who is David the Good, another David, who is a huge fan of growing from seed. Now, you know, I'm not that good at growing from seed, but I have been a fan of growing from seed too. And I've been trying to cultivate the idea of growing from seed since we started our off-grid organic farm and retreat. But other people say you don't want to grow from seed because you don't get as good of food. And so
sometimes you get better.
Huh?
Sometimes you get a lot better.
Perhaps. So they've kind
of David Good said,
they've kind of poo-pooed the idea of me growing from seed, and so I've kind of backed off of it a little bit. But, you know, if I ain't got time, I just throw the seeds in the field and let them do their thing. And if they grow, they grow. If they don't, they don't. You know?
And that's pretty much my only complaint about you doing that, is you throw them everywhere. And I'm afraid when I go to mow the grass, I'll be chopping down fruit trees.
Yeah, but we haven't mowed that grass in 5 years.
Which is a good thing, because that soil is getting really rich.
Exactly. But that's just it. You know, I'm throwing the seeds where we're not working, you know, where we're not doing anything. And the seeds will grow, and the trees will grow, and the plants will grow where they choose to grow. See, I don't know enough to garden properly, to plant properly. So I just kind of randomly throw the seeds wherever and let them decide if that's the right place for them to grow.
So basically, we should be seed balling.
We should be seed balling, yes, probably.
Right, and for those who don't know what a seed ball is, it's a mixture of potting soil, clay, and a whole bunch of random seeds. You know, whatever you would like to grow, throw it in the mix. All right?
Yeah.
Look it up. There's plenty of people who've done it. There's plenty of formulas out there for how much to use of this, that, and the other. And you just basically make these balls. Well, these soil balls with seeds in them, and you dry them, and you throw them out in random locations, you know, all over the place. You know, you throw out great big huge handfuls of these things all over the place, and maybe you got corn, beans, watermelon, whatever, mixed into the seed ball. All right. When the rain finally hits, the seed ball will melt, and there's already a little bit of potting soil there, and the seed's going to take advantage of those nutrients and whatever nutrients it finds, and it'll sprout there. Meanwhile, the ball itself protects the seeds.
Yes, I was about to say. The seed ball protects the seeds from animals eating it, primarily birds.
Right. Right. And so, you know, there's a few things. You can add cayenne pepper and stuff like that if you want, if you're worried about ants carrying stuff off and things like that. But anyway, so these things, they're sitting there waiting for the first rain. And when the rain hits, because they got potting soil in it, they soak up the water real quickly, get the seeds a good head start, and they root. And whatever likes the position where you planted it, wherever the ball landed, whatever likes that position, that thing is going to grow.
Yep.
So you'll end up with a field with random corn, watermelon, cantaloupe, whatever. So, apple trees.
This is basically what I do, except I don't do the seed ball.
Right.
And the watermelon and stuff like that I strategically plant. But I don't do that as good as I should.
Well, the ones you planted, they took off. Unfortunately, it's too late in the season.
Right. They were just starting to produce fruit when we had our first freeze.
Talking of which, did you save any seeds that you didn't plant?
Unfortunately, no.
That is sad, because we're going to have to repeat that in the spring.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's the time to do it.
Well, I know the source for where I got the watermelon. So I'm going to Kirsten was selling the watermelon for her neighbor. So I will get some seeds from her or her neighbor, have her get some seeds from her neighbor, or I'll get them from her neighbor, and I will grow those watermelons, because those watermelons were muy delicioso. It was funny, though. After I bought the watermelon, I went back to her stand, because she does the farmer's market there in Stockton, and I said, I love the watermelon. There was one problem. She goes, what's that? That I had too many seeds. And she was like, taken back, you know. And then I said, it took me forever to save them all. And it took her a second to react, but she thought that was funny. But anyways, see, you know, because most people don't like seeds, you know. This is, they want seedless watermelons. And that's why I said that, you know. It's like, you had too many seeds. She was taken aback. And then I was like, it took me forever to save them all. But yeah, so that was funny. So what do you want to talk about as far as our free food and medicine topic besides seeds? Be a seed saver and whatnot.
Well, it's actually a very good subject. I mean, if you eat it, you should plant it.
Right.
No ifs, ands, or buts on that. If you eat it, you should plant it. You know, if you're eating a lot of apples, you know, me personally, I eat most of the seeds of everything I eat. But
shame on you.
Well, you know, so as far as there being too many watermelon seeds, I would have eaten most of them. But because there's so many seeds, I can save a handful of those and plant them. All right?
Sure.
Same thing goes for the apples. I mean, if I'm eating a particularly good apple, I make a point of not eating the core. All right?
Right.
And, you know, because Kano tosses the seeds out randomly, I figure, what the hey, and I do the same.
Well, yeah, like, we went and picked up goats this weekend, and the people that we bought the goats from had these humongous, not apple trees, but these humongous apples growing in these trees. And from the driveway, it looked like they were giant
tomatoes.
I was like, holy cow, what is that? It looks like tomatoes growing in those trees. So we stopped and we snagged a couple of them and picked up a few off the ground. And mostly because Chip wanted one. He's like, get me one. So I'm like, okay. And so I grabbed a couple and grabbed a few off the ground. And they turned out to be very, very delicious. I'm going to, so we're saving the seeds from those, and we're going to try to grow them. And now that I know where to get them, I'm going to go back and actually buy a bushel of them, because their son is my mechanic here in Atchison, Kansas, for the big truck. So I'm going to say, dude, next time you go to your parents, grab me a bushel of apples. Tell me what they want for them. And
hey,
I'll take them home. And we'll grow them.
That said, David the Good says, you know, with apples, the reason why they say they won't be good is because they rarely breed true. Most of your apple varieties are clones. You know, I've got a friend who's got Arkansas Black. They were not grown from seed. They were grafted onto the roots of some other tree. And so he's got the Arkansas Black, all right? Well, I got a lot of seeds from that, you know, up here that the goats have been eating and basically pooping out the seeds wherever they go, all right? And quite frankly, I'm going to take a shovel and start flinging the stuff all over the place because, you know, it's been fermenting for a while, all right? And we're not going to get any Arkansas Black apples out of those seeds. We're going to get crossbred apples out of those. And, you know, one of the things that David the Good said was, you get a new apple tree and it tastes good? Guaranteed, nobody else has it. Nobody else.
Right.
Name it after yourself.
Right.
All right.
Don't taste
we got
good,
a guy.
Don't
well,
taste
we
good,
had a guy. We had. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, if it don't taste good, you can chop it down and use it for cooking wood and grow another one.
This is true. This is true. And we had a guy. Who he starts plants. He's real good at starting plants. Excellent at starting plants. All right.
Oh yeah.
He's
a plant clone master.
All right. So you know you might look him up. Wolf Landing, I think.
Yeah, he's basically.
Is that correct?
Yeah, he don't have a website or anything yet, but he.
All right. Well, anyway.
He was on our property. He's buying into the other property that I got
Corey.
Scammed into that brought
Corey.
Us to
Corey.
Cedar County originally. So we're gonna he's gonna buy a portion of the property that I got scammed into, and we're gonna actually start making a return on my investment that I wasted 7 years ago.
There you go. All right.
So
one of the things he points out is that when you buy a lemon or a grapefruit or an orange or any other of the citrus fruits, they rarely come out Well, they often come out as something different than what you had.
When you grow them.
When you grow them. Because, well, okay, I don't know about oranges, but with apples, it's common practice to have, say, a crab apple nearby that pollinates all of your apple trees.
Right. So
right?
If you have a bad apple tree, you may not want to cut it down because that may be pollinating your good apple.
Right. And so all your apples are going to be crossbred between crab apples and whatever apple you had. Okay? You know? And so as a result, you know, basically no seeds, no fruit when it comes to an apple. All right? If the flower doesn't get pollinated, it don't produce. All right? And I guess they don't self-pollinate. They'll pollinate each other, but they don't self-pollinate. All right? So
that's funny. That reminds me, Hy-Vee in Independence off 23rd Street, if you're listening and you're in Independence, they have one of those decorative apples growing on their driveway. But one branch of this apple, this decorative apple, had regular apples on it. Apparently, it got pollinated by a different kind of tree, or that turned those decorative apples into regular apples.
There's this too, Kano. From time to time, trees have spontaneous mutations.
Right, it could be reverting back to its raw form.
Right, and whatever mutation that particular branch had made it develop regular apples. All right? And, you know, like my mom on her land, she has the plum tree. It never been grafted, but it had four varieties of plums on it. And they were all delicious, but they had different characteristics, and they all tasted a little bit different. But it's all off the same tree. You just, you know, whatever the original tree was, it mutated three times. There's three major branches that mutated. And so she got, all the plums were roughly the same size, but they were, you know, there were different colors, different textures, slightly different flavors. Okay? So, you know, that happens. You know, in nature, they call it a sport. So.
Right. So. Yeah, planting seeds. One thing we've been doing since we've been on our property is there's this wild edible called Chinese lantern. And we love them. Can't eat too many of them, though. I get upset. It upsets my stomach. But they're delicious. now, I could probably eat a bunch of them if I ate them with other things. But, you know, I just, like, gorge myself with them. Because they're so good. And
well, they're probably high in vitamin C.
Yeah, probably. And so if I just have to remember not to eat too many because it will upset my stomach. But I will sit and eat meat. These things are amazing. There's actually three varieties, and I've identified my favorite. But anytime we see them growing in the wild, you know, we'll pick and eat them. But we'll take the bad ones and we'll take the seeds, you know, the little whatever, we'll take it and put it in an area that we want it to grow. And so we're cultivating to a degree. This
As
year
matter
I went
fact,
to
since the last freeze. Since a lot last freeze, a lot of them are starting to paper up. And so I'm going to be gathering those up, And I will probably be planting them in the greenhouse.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, this year we've actually been transplanting a lot of them. When we see them growing in, you know, different places, especially the road where we're going to drive over it or we've already driven over it, we'll pull it up and transplant it to the garden. Some of them did well, some of them didn't. But yeah. And Xavier cloned a couple of them. And they didn't do half bad either. So, and on the other property, the quarry, as we was calling it, or what it was previously called, with parties in a scam contract or land contract, we're now calling it Wolf Landing. There's a ton of those growing wild, those Chinese lanterns. There's a ton of them growing wild. So, and Xavier loves them too, so he's going to be cultivating those, as well as the passion fruit next year. When it comes back, he's going to make sure the following year comes back like gangbusters.
Oh, something else I'm going to cultivate.
What's that?
The prickly pear in the first goat yard. The fruit have all turned purple, and they are delicious. And they are full of seeds, and I'm going to be planting the seeds.
There we go. You know, I haven't tried prickly pear, but prickly pear is good for diabetes and a bunch of other stuff. Let's look it up.
Now, let's do that next week, seeing as we're less than a minute to go now.
Oh, we've already determined that's misleading. That's misleading. It'll keep recording. So we'll keep talking until it drops us off. Prickly pear. In the Marcus Rothkranz Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide, prickly pear cactus is on page 352. And this grows not just in the desert. We've got it growing in the Midwest. Missouri.
Different varieties. Different varieties, different places. Some places have it large, some have it small. Ours is kind of medium size.
Yeah, it doesn't get maybe as big as it would in the desert, but it does decent. So it says, this popular cactus can grow all over the world and is destined, I think it's destined, D-E-S-T-I-N-E-D. Anyway,
I don't know.
This popular cactus can grow all over the world and is destined to be the next big herb superstar. It was destined. I would have just kept reading, then I wouldn't have sounded like an idiot. each plant of this, each part of this plant is both food and medicine. And it's been used for centuries. Antiviral properties used for herpes, the flu, HIV, obesity, hey, there you go, weight loss, gastrointestinal disorders, cholesterol problems, and skin problems. The fruit of the cactus, which looks like pink Easter eggs, also known as the pulp or tuna, can be eaten much like other fruits. They taste like raspberries and are super high in antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals like calcium, magnesium, beta-carotene, potassium, cancer-protecting flavonoids, and huge doses of vitamin C, which is good because, you know, vitamin C helps you through the winter fight colds and stuff like that. It's funny how there's, you know, juniper berries are ready in the fall. They're high in vitamin C. Elderberries are ready in the fall. They're high in vitamin C. Rose hips are pretty much ready all through winter, and they're high in vitamin C. And these guys, you know, basically, I don't know when
they're ready now.
Yeah, they're ready now. I think they actually bloom and are ready pretty much year round. But, except, you know, through the hard part of the winter, probably.
Well,
but yeah,
from what I read, you can eat, once the fruit forms, you can eat it anytime. So even if it's green, you can eat it. I haven't tried it yet, but I tried it once it turned purple, and it is delicious. What I've read, though, is it'll taste different depending on when you eat it.
Right. To be honest, I haven't tried it yet. I need to.
Tried it for the first time not too long ago, and then I went and looked it up because I wanted to make sure you could eat it when it's raw. And you can eat it when it's raw. It's fine.
There you go.
Got little BB-sized seeds in it, so you got to watch it. All right? So,
does it have thorns?
It does. It has little hairy thorns on the side, but you know what? I just rubbed them off with my own fingers and then split the skin open and ate the innards.
So it's not as bad as the cactus itself.
No, yeah, you can just put it off by hand, but some people might react to the little thorns. So, you know, wear some gloves and rub those little thorns off. And I don't know. I suppose you can eat the skin and all. I haven't tried.
Yeah, Marcus Rothkrantz shows a picture of using tongs and basically pulling them off the cactus using tongs.
There you go. Yeah, I just plucked them off with my fingers.
Prickly pear fruit has been clinically shown to reduce cholesterol. Seeds can be ground into flour. The flat green pads contain a full range of amino acids to build, amino acids, the building blocks of protein. It is extremely rare for a plant source to have this many amino acids. It's very high in dietary soluble fiber. Mucilage, and pectin. Mucilage is the sticky juice that oozes from the pad. So that clear aloe gel looking deal that oozes from the cactus. And it's kind of like a watery aloe like gel. It comes out of the cactus. That's what the mucilage is. Anyways, the sticky juice that oozes from the pad when it is sliced. The same mucilaginous immune-boosting polysaccharide found in aloe vera. There There you go. See, I just used aloe as an example. It's the same stuff, pretty much. Studies have shown that the prickly pear cactus. Studies have shown the prickly pear cactus to be effective against diabetes, even type 2. Apparently, it helps the pancreas create insulin. And that being said, vanadium. Vanadium is what the body uses to create insulin. So, there's like, 90 different minerals or something like that, 70 some different minerals. And every mineral, from what I understand, has a counterpart. So chromium and vanadium are the minerals you need for diabetes. Chromium, I guess, helps with the regulation, and the vanadium is the insulin. So what you need to do is you need to find food that is rich in vanadium and eat that, and the body will convert that to insulin.
There you go.
And then he says, amazing. Just like our favorite whatchamacallit guy. Amazing. So anyway, the juice can be applied to warts and consume to work on kidney stones. So there you go. Works on kidney stones too. Tea made from the pads are used for lung problems, prostate issues, and, of course, diabetes. It goes on to say, when harvesting cactus, use tongs. May even have some super thick work gloves or welding gloves. There are the big, sharp, obvious spikes. There are the big, sharp, obvious spikes, but be aware that at the base of those are little tiny hairs that stick to your skin and drive you nuts. So basically,
right, apparently I'm immune to the hairs.
Yeah, so those little hairs are thorns too. There's tiny thorns.
Yeah, I just rub those off with my fingers, but you might not be able to get away with that.
Well, David's hands are a little more calloused than most of ours, too.
Well, stinging nettle is a chemical thing, and I picked that, and I have no problem with it whatsoever. My mom can't pick them, but she can eat them. So I'll go out and I'll pick the stinging nettles for people. And they can have it in their salads and their soups and whatever. It's really good for them. So I guess I'm the person to go pick prickly pear fruit because, up to now, I haven't had any effect from those little hairs. But I am aware those hairs can be irritating. So just be aware of that,
Well, he might have identified the name of those hairs. He says these are called glotches. But then he said, it goes on to say, like gloshes, glotches.
Okay.
GLOCHIDS. But he goes on to say, who cares what they're called?
Yeah.
Just be aware.
Well, if they're a pain in the butt to you, then call them a pain in the butt. But,
Just be aware for it and be careful when handling cactus.
And for those of you who are immune to those little hairs, be kind to other people that you're picking the fruit for. Rub all the little hairs off for them.
Right. Let's see here. Blah, 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 blah. The payoff is well worth it. Rose. Oh. Rose. Oh, wait. No. Oh, sorry. Hose off the cactus pieces as such. I'm sorry. I'm tired. The words are blurring together.
Yeah, me too.
Hose off the cactus pieces as much as you can with water somehow in a sink or with a hose. Then scrape off the needles while handling with tongs. Some people carve out the base of each spine with a knife where the glotches are. When peeling off the skin to eat, or if you want a cactus smoothie, simply throw the whole thing in the Vitamix, skin, pickles, and everything. Run it on high speed for a while until everything is absolutely liquefied.
Did that say pickles or prickles?
Hang on, let me go back. I can't find it now. Oh, yeah, it says prickles.
Right, so the Vitamix will take the prickles off. That's cool.
Or it'll juice it.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, juice it till it's liquefied. Then strain through a fine mesh strainer. Okay, that's where you get rid of them. Or a nut milk bag, and mix the fresh and mix with freshly squeezed orange juice. Both the egg shaped fruit and the flat pads can be eaten. People of many cultures peel the skin off pads and cut them into strips and stir fry like any other vegetable. I tried that. I either didn't do it right or something. It wasn't didn't work out. But I'll have to try again.